Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies and the secrets of the top 1% so you can amplify and transform your life and your business today. I'm excited for today's guest because he's bald like me. We got the cool, sexy heads. Now, so let me tell you about today's guest here. Steve Sims, he was an ugly kid from the outskirts of London. He was not born into the world of luxury, but certainly holds his place there now. He's the founder and expert marketer within the luxury industry. He has been quoted in various publications, including the Wall Street Journal, Forbes, London's Sunday Times, and South China Morning Post. He's also been on TV and a speaker on a variety of different networks, groups, and associations, as well as Pentagon and Harvard twice. They loved him so much. Do you want to sing with your favorite rock star, have lunch with Donald Trump, get married at the Vatican, or dive to the wreck of the Titanic? These are just a small few highlights of what he does. He is well regarded for his marketing within the luxury world, but be prepared, he does things his way. So Steve, I want to welcome you to Making Bank, and your business is also, the company is also called The Blue Fish. So I want to welcome Steve and The Blue Fish to Making Bank today.
Thanks, pal. Pleased to be here.
Yeah, I know. I've like tried to get you on the show. You've blown me off multiple times. You're too busy hobnobbing with the influential and the celebrities and traveling all around the world. So I'm excited to have you on today. Let's kind of dive into a little bit of your background and kind of how you got started with everything.
That's not very pretty. I'm a London boy from a construction family. I was built big. So, you know, my natural start was just working on the door. I tried to get a job in Hong Kong because no one would employ me in London. So I managed to get a job in Hong Kong. I lasted one day and then ended up working what I was again built for on the door. And then started just kind of like doing a few parties and doing a few favors for people. And before I knew it, I became the guy to know that knew kind of thing. And people would go, what's going on tonight? And where can I go? And hey, I want this. And it just before this all became a concierge industry, I was just a guy that just knew how to make things happen. And it just grew. And I did that in Asia. Then I moved to Switzerland. And then I moved over to Palm Beach. And now I'm here in Los Angeles. And my things have gone from, you know, getting people into the right nightclub in Hong Kong to, as you know, last Sunday partnering with Elton John for his star-studded Oscar party. So it's been quite an interesting 20-odd years.
I mean, I guess to kind of sum things up, kind of give us an overview of really what, you know, what you do. Because I know you and I have talked and, you know, it's really cool. I mean, whether it's getting people in front of the F1 or, like I said, getting married at the Vatican, tell me the story.
Yeah, so we're a fee-based concierge firm, one of the longest out there. We're $5,000 a year and we handle everything from your travel, your experiences, your events. This could be anything from a couple of tickets to a Justin Bieber concert to doing a duet with Lady Gaga. We're very well known for doing the bucket list stuff, like, you know, the client that wanted to get married in the Vatican, going down to see the Titanic, jumping on stage and actually singing with your favorite group live on stage in San Diego. So we're very well known for doing those massive bucket list items, but we're really there to make your life a little bit more easy, a little bit more seamless, and utilizing our credibility and reputation to get you like hotel upgrades and cheaper air flights and the general concierge lifestyle industry for quite simply those discerning people that are only looking for 5-star.
And so you guys focus on the whole 5-star category of just travel in general. And then yeah. You awesome, all these other cool, huge, amazing opportunities out there as well.
Yeah, that's what, you know, no one's going to put us on the front page of Forbes because we got a great deal at Boston Hotel. But
right. A
lot of our business, probably about 55% of our business, well over half, is travel. We never book anything less than 4-star. But as you know, we're both in the entrepreneurial circle. You know, you have a flight into a meeting in Arizona and you're supposed to go back to Washington. Well, it's not uncommon that you end up in Arizona and all of a sudden you have to go to Miami or you have to stop over in LA or you have to delay your flight. While you're in Arizona because the meeting's going so well. So we work very much with the entrepreneurial business crowd and those people that have to be a little bit more flexible, but we know the way the world works, so we just make it a bit easier for you and hopefully a bit more interesting.
And so tell me, I guess, how did, so you know, with the different parties and the right connector guy and everything, you know, as you were growing up, how'd you get to running a whole travel concierge side of things and then making those connections? really?
I was always a very grounded individual. Again, I come from very much of a working back family. And as we all know, when you're in that kind of crew, that kind of level,
right,
you resonate or you don't resonate. You know, me and you have seen each other and we've chatted and we get on and we like each other because we're both startlingly good-looking people. But there'll be people in a room that you just won't resonate with, so you just won't even bother with them. Now, that may sound very childish, and a lot of people say, well, you have to get on with them. No, you don't. You know, there's enough people in the world. If you just pick the people you get on with, then you'll have a much happier existence. So when I used to work on the door, if I had a prick come on the door and he'd be like, I want to get in, and I knew the club was crap, I'd say, help yourself, go on in.
Right.
And if another couple came up and they were nice people, I'd be like, look, tonight's not the best night, but if you run down the road, you see Josh, tell him Sim sent you, it'll get you in. You know, and it started off like that. I really, without realizing it, just wanted to associate with cool people and grounded, real people. And then I was getting requests. I remember once when I was in Hong Kong, someone said to me, I want to go to Monaco. And I went, I can look after you. And this was back in the 90s, before internet. And then I went back to my apartment, tried finding out where Monaco was. I really had no idea. And then I'm like, oh, there it is. Right. Oh, God, it's far away. Because I knew Macau was just around the corner, and I had this funny idea it was close to that, which I was wrong. And then I just went out of my way to make sure it could happen. And if I actually said it's going to be done, it's going to be done. And a lot of the times I would lose my ass because I would underprice it and I would overpromise and I'd be like, oh, scrambling. But I realized that the only thing I had was my word.
Sure.
So that's what it did. And the requests got bigger, and then there were a couple of kind of like crazy ones in there, and a guy wanted to be turned into James Bond, so we orchestrated that, and then we worked with the New York Fashion Week. So the more crazier stuff we got,
right,
the easier it was to open up the next door, because we could go, look, I know it may sound silly that I want a pink elephant on Sunday for a birthday party, but this is what I did last week, and this is what I did the week before, and it just grew from there. So the more ammo I had in my toolbox to be able to present that while I look like a Neanderthal, I actually do what I say I can do, it helps.
And so I guess one of the keys then for you was, even though you weren't sure how to always make it happen, when you told somebody like, hey, you know, this is what we're going to do based on what the request was, that was something you were able to make happen and fulfill what they were looking for.
Yeah, I'm a very dull, boring person. And I live vicariously through my clients. So when a client phones up and says, hey, I want to go and do this, if I give them the nod and say, hey, I'm going to make it happen, it's going to happen. It's as simple as that. I keep things really simple, real transparent, and people get what they wanted. Basically, 9 times out of 10, I make sure they get more than what they wanted because I know where little things are that can embellish that little thing. Like, for argument's sake, you know, we had about 60 people, just under 60 people, went to Elton John's Oscar party on Sunday. Okay. Well, we actually had one of our own photographers at the event positioned so that as the clients come in, they were actually called out like they were a celebrity and all the photographs taken on the red carpet. Now, of course, all the other media have no idea who these people are.
Right.
But when someone starts calling out, Josh, over here, all of a sudden you've got all of these media trying to work out, fuck's Josh, starts taking all these photographs.
That's awesome.
So it gives them that extra experience. And then afterwards on the Monday, we text them over a link where there's all these pictures of these celebrities walking down the carpet and them. So
nice.
It's just that little bit extra, just that extra little bit of thought of making sure that someone's there, or you put something in their hotel room when they arrive, or just those little bit of extra things, that little bit of detail. So keep it really simple, stupid, basic.
Sure.
And it's very hard to go wrong.
And I know, too, we were talking, I know, before, just even on your travel and what you guys book and you help is, you know, I guess with your relationships with the different hotels, as somebody's going in and they're getting a good room, but then all of a sudden they show up and based on your relationships, they have a really awesome room.
Yeah, because we've been very, I think it was Brian Kurtz said to me, there's a difference between being easy to understand and impossible to misunderstand. The hotel groups, they have no difficulty in understanding the caliber of client and discerning client that we deal with. So when we're actually presenting someone to a hotel, they actually go above and beyond to make sure that client. So you will turn up for your king room and suddenly find out that you've been upgraded to a king room suite, or that the manager's running out to personally greet you, or there's a bottle of your favorite wine or champagne sitting in your room. It's those little extra things to make you just go, oh, this is cool, you know. Or you're traveling with kids and there's some little kids' gifts sitting in the room to just entertain the kids after a bloody 12-hour flight or something. Just those tiny little things make a big difference. And we use our reputation to get as much as we can for our clients.
That's awesome. And so tell me about, like, I guess the craziest, I guess, trip or event that you booked for somebody that somebody wanted to do.
God, where do we start? So you mentioned the Donald Trump. That was kind of strange because this was about a year before he declared that he was running for presidency.
Right.
I had a client that wanted to have breakfast with the Trump kids and Donald Trump. So we arranged for him, the client, to fly up to New York with his buddy. And they sat there, they had lunch actually with the Trump family and just sat there just like, you know, chewing the crap and just talking about different things. We've sent clients down to the Titanic. We, as you already know, got a client married in the Vatican. I think one of the cool ones that really still makes me kind of giggle was we had a client that had a new wife, he's had a few, and he was going into Florence and he wanted to go to an exclusive restaurant. Now, if anyone knows anything about Florence, the Tuscan lifestyle is very family. You ask for a table of two, you'll be put on a table of 20, but just given two chairs. You know, by the end of the night, you're family. That's the whole point of Tuscan life. But this guy wanted an exclusive restaurant. And as I said, they don't really exist. So we cleared out the Accademia, which is the museum in Florence that houses Michelangelo's David. Set up a table of six at the feet of Michelangelo's David. And then halfway through, we had Andrea Bocelli come in and serenade him during dinner. So that was pretty cool. You imagine going to Paris and actually having dinner underneath the Mona Lisa or something.
Sure.
But this is the most iconic statue in the world. And it's there. It's as famous as the Statue of Liberty. And it made me laugh because on the doors, as you entered into the museum, it's about 20 plaques in every kind of language saying no food and drink in this building.
Oh,
and there we are walking in with this table, chairs, chandeliers, all of these cooking pots and everything. No food and drink. And they got a four-course meal at the feet of the statue. So it was kind of funny.
That's super cool. And I know you mentioned, too, you guys, I think it was right after the release of the James Bond movie, and somebody wanted to be part of it, or it was, I remember you kind of telling me this story before.
Yeah, so this was back in the 90s. A very loving wife contacted us and said that her husband had always done something pretty amazing for her birthdays. So she wanted to do something for his, and she said, I really want to make it something he can never forget. So we went through what's his likes, dislikes, you know, what things does he like to get involved in, what does he like to watch, and she kept on bringing up this reoccurring theme of James Bond. Oh, yeah, he likes that because it's seen on James Bond. Oh, what man doesn't want to be James Bond? I said, well, let's make him James Bond. So we actually flew him into France. They stayed at a casino in Casino Square, and we put him in the hotel. We treated him like Bond. We actually gave him a script that he was 008 coming back into field duty. So he had to go through these procedures to make sure that he was had the responses and was fast enough. So we did, you know, car speed chase training. We did ammunition shooting, all these different guns. And then we actually got him kidnapped at one stage.
Oh, wow.
Because one of the enemies heard the 008 was coming back into active service. So we created this entire live movie, The Game.
Right.
We had like about 60 actors and actresses. And when he got kidnapped out of the restaurant, everyone in the restaurant was actually an actor and actress. So, you know, they come storming in. Now, obviously, the world's a different place now since 9/11.
Right.
But, you know, they were running in with these, like, dummy guns. We obviously told the police and everything this is what was going on. But I'm not sure we could get away with that now. But that was pretty cool. We got him escorted from the restaurant into a speedboat and then taken out onto another boat that we had written Octopussy on the side of it. So it was all very well done. So he had a great time.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So what do you think kind of like maybe, you know, I guess your three kind of strategies or success points that have worked really well for you? I mean, obviously you connect with a lot of people. You're putting people, whether it's playing with their favorite soccer star to this whole James Bond to diving at the Titanic. How do you go about making those connections and making those kind of things happen? Because most people are just like, how does that even work?
Yeah, you see, my greatest talent is I'm far more stupid than anyone else here. The intelligent response should be yours. You know, oh my God, how do you even start? I'm so stupid. I go, well, I want to go and do this. And then I say, well, let me start. So you start somewhere. You start by making phone calls. I avoid emails like the plague.
Okay.
I make phone calls. I send letters. I send gifts. Silly little gifts.
Sure.
Just anything, an iPhone case or a magazine subscription to whatever they like. I do something to try and connect with the person. So I don't foresee how this can go wrong. I am that British bulldog who just keeps banging his head on the door until the door opens.
Right.
And then I start and I'll often fail. You know, I'll phone someone up. Sorry, we don't take calls. All right. Start sending gifts. Start loitering outside the door, finding out where they go. You know, I will just try all these different things until I get what I want. Then I'm incredibly transparent. I always ask a question that you can't answer no to. So if I walked up to the Academia, that museum in Florence, and I went, hey, how much does it cost for this? I want to do this party next Friday. Can I do it? There's far too many questions in that question, and it ends with one that's very easy to go no. Okay. When you want something from someone, you've got to position it. So, hey, I have this amazing dream to have a restaurant in the most amazing place in Florence. And I can't think of anywhere more amazing than here. What do we need to do to make that happen? And position it, get them on board with the passion, and ask the question that they can't respond with no. And if they come back and they say, well, we've never done it before. Great. So we're making history. This is the first. Can
right.
you imagine how unique this was? And just basically get them involved, get them to drink the Kool-Aid. And then they're like, oh, I remember when I contacted the Vatican. Now, the Vatican's don't have emails. They actually have faxes. True, they have faxes. And so I thought to myself, I'll phone them up, okay? So I phoned them up. And the person on the other end of the phone said to me in very good English, they said, we've never had this request before. And I said, great, this is the first, you know? But they had never had anyone phone up. But when I go and do my speeches and I speak to people about the Vatican, they come back with the same response that you give. They go, oh, I wouldn't know where to start. Oh my God, this couldn't be done. They place these hurdles in front of themselves that distance themselves not only from the goal, but then add a couple of miles to it. All you got to do is reach into your right pocket, pull out your phone, Google the Vatican and push dial and go, hey, you know, they may get a no, but you're far more steps ahead than the person that sits there developing all these obstacles.
And I guess, you know, from what I can think, then what you're saying is you don't see the no's, you don't see those hurdles. And I guess for me, I know when I was, ever since I was a kid and I started my first business at 14, I never could see, oh, hey, is this not going to work?
That's the stupidity, Gene. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs have it. And I think the ignorance to failure and the little kids that just sit there and they say, I'm going to jump over that. And the parents stand there and go, no, you can't do that. You're going to scratch yourself. You're going to do this. So from an early age, we're taught that maybe we can't. Now, of course, there's a lot of smart lessons in that as parents. I'm not suggesting all parents push the kids off the roof and, you know, there you go, you can fly. But we're taught from a very young age to reconsider, rethink what it is you wanted to do. And Greg Reed did a speech once, and he said, it's the size of your butt that gets that gets in your way. But I can't do this. But this has happened. But
right.
And all that shit. Whereas if you're ignorant to the fact of the failure, you just go, I want to do that. Here I go.
Sure.
And you just do it.
Actually, interesting side note. I just, for some reason, Greg Reed popped up in my social media feeds recently. I don't know. So it's just kind of funny that you mentioned him.
he's a stalker. He actually came. He's a great guy. He's really cool. And he actually was one of my guests at recently Sunday's Oscar party with Jesse Elder. So it was cool to have those guys. It's cool to see people with their own social groups collide and just chat with each other about different things. But yeah, he's a good lad.
That's awesome. No, yeah, it's just kind of funny. I'm like, maybe everything's directing me. I'm like, okay, maybe I'm supposed to go interview him or something or invite him on. It's just, he's there, and then you mentioned him, so that was kind of cool. But so I guess for you, I know what kind of, I know you got some really cool passions. I can see some of them behind you.
there's a few. My passions are two wheels.
So what, I guess, is that kind of like your break away from the business and just kind of your release is riding sport bikes?
Yeah, it is. I ride many different bikes, from Harleys to vintage bikes to race bikes. You know, as long as it's got two wheels, I'm on it. But that's my release. I can't answer the phone. I can't be checking my messages. I can't be looking at a text. I don't have a Kappa Frappuccino or whatever in front of me. You know, I'm not worried about what music's playing. When I'm on a bike, it just is my meditation, is my release. So I don't have a car. I sold my car, I think about 5 years ago when I was on the market to buy a new one. Didn't bother buying a new one. And so I two-wheel it everywhere now.
And I know, and you actually go out and race them, because I mean, I've seen video of you where you're on the track and it's not just like cruising around town for you.
No, I like to again, like all entrepreneurs, how far can we push it? I like to get out on the track and go, well, okay, I hit 150. Next time I'm on the track, let's go for 160. Okay, that was a blast. Now let's go for 170. So you just, you know, every now and then, again, like all entrepreneurs, we get a setback.
Right.
You know, we get a lawsuit, or we get a contract go wrong, or we work with the wrong client, or we get a partner trying to screw us over. But as my old paps used to say, no one ever drowned by falling in water. They drowned by staying there. So I'm that guy that keeps on trying to push the envelope and seeing what can be done.
That's awesome. And do you ever, you know, have any kind of like daily success habits that you implement, or you just kind of, because I've interviewed some people and they're like, okay, they're like boom, 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 this every day. And some people are like, I have nothing. I just do whatever I want, whatever every day.
I think I've never analyzed my secret sauce. But like both me and you, we've got to give a big shout out to another fellow baldy, Joe Polish.
Right.
We meet up at those groups, and it's a pile of misfits from around the world to get into a room.
Sure.
And I love speaking, like me and you have, and speaking to people that are successful in completely different business formats,
right?
And areas, and speaking to them and going, so you know, why are you doing this, or how did that happen, or what went wrong there? And someone can tell you a story about how something got screwed up. And then you'll have a guy over here, completely different marketplace, go, well, have you tried this? So it's usually good to get a perspective from outside the trees.
Sure.
When I went to probably one of those pinnacle moments was when I met up with Peter Diamandis. And you know Peter as well.
Right.
Peter actually was talking to me about the news. And he said about how he stopped watching the news.
Right.
Because the news was there purely and simply to depress him. And I kind of thought about that. And we all know the old statement, if it bleeds, it leads. The front page is always going to show someone getting hurt. And the 12th page and a little footnote is going to talk about the person that got rescued or the person that invented something. Good news never leads. It's always someone stabbed, robbed, killed, devastated. If it bleeds, it leads. And I paid attention to that news or that statement from Peter. And I suddenly realized that the following day, there was no news about Elon Musk developing something that was going to save lives or someone inventing something
right.
that was going to mean that we were going to suddenly get rid of that disease or knowing how further we are to curing cancer. It was someone stabbed, robbed, or a car chase, especially
right.
in LA.
Yeah.
So I don't watch the news until 6 o'clock at night. I absolutely do not. And I have to admit, I was stunned at how that did actually shift my dynamic. I was, and you think you're not listening to it.
Right.
But it's in the background while you're making the coffee. And before you've got to the computer, you've already realized that the whole world's going to shit. And subconsciously, you're just kind of like, well, why do I bother getting up in the morning, you know?
Right, now you're in that depressed state.
Don't watch the news. I don't watch the news in the morning. I actually record it at 6 o'clock and I skip through it. I just get the basic bullet points.
Right.
So I don't do that. I do try to, well, not try to. I actually released a video many months, maybe even years ago, called the Chug Test. I only associate and communicate with people I like, because the difference between phoning someone you don't like and phoning a friend is so dramatic. So if someone's going to become a client of mine, I literally want to go, well, can I get drunk with them? Can I get drunk and tell dirty jokes and fall over? Are these cool people?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, there's no work involved when you've got to phone them. I had that party on Sunday. Since then, I've had a couple of breakfasts. I had another breakfast this morning with a client.
Sure.
Now, he had actually moved hotel without telling me and was like about another 5 miles further. So I jumped on the bike on a morning in Los Angeles and rode the bike an extra 5 miles. And he said, thank you so much for coming over. But where was the hardship? I was going to meet a friend.
Right.
And have breakfast.
And hang out.
So
yeah.
Only associate with people you like. Only associate people that give value to your life. Only associate with people that make you smile and are people that you want to be like. And you suddenly find that you start becoming that person. So
sure.
If six of your closest friends are pricks and morons, then guess what you are? You know?
Yeah, you
so
fall into
associate
that.
Associate with good people.
No, that's cool. That's awesome. And I think that's why we run into a lot of similar, the same groups and everything, for sure, is creating those connections and having those connections of awesome people. I know you have a new book that's coming out in October.
Yep, I do. Blue Fishing, The Art of Making Things Happen. I'm really excited. I never thought I could do a book. It's actually coming out with Simon Schuster. So,
awesome.
You know, I didn't exactly start smallly. that's actually on Amazon now on pre-sale. So that comes out in October and I'm very excited.
Cool. What's in the book and what can we be all excited for and ready for when it comes out?
I want to help you get out of your headspace.
Okay.
We're talking to a guy that the only thing he's qualified to do is construction work. I am a qualified bricklayer. And after all of these years, I wouldn't trust that. But as a bricklayer and communicating with the people I do and doing the things I do, if I can do it, then there's no one out there that can't. So right. I just want to be able to keep it simple, get rid of the noise. If a million people are emailing and no one's sending direct mail, try direct mail. If a million people are doing direct mail, start doing video chats. You know, start getting so just cheap, simple little things. And my clients are millionaires and billionaires and rich and, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Right.
But I've never sent a gift over $12. Never.
Wow. Huh. That's it.
Never done it. I'll tell you a little story. I went to a party a while ago and the guy was a wine connoisseur. And I was there and within the party was the guy that does his jet charters. So we ended up chatting, and this was, a wine connoisseur, and he was going throughout the night talking about his wine. So the jet charter guy sent him a $500 bottle of wine. Now, the guy was a billionaire, and he had $500 bottles of wine littered everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay? I sent him a bottle opener. Okay? So he hadn't had a new bottle opener for something like about 6 years. Now, every day when he's uncorking his wine, he's using my bottle opener. He's only ever going to open that guy's bottle of wine once.
Right.
And the bottle opener was $11.
Nice.
So there you go. Just think about the important things.
Huh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's totally different. You, like you said, you think, oh, I got to send this expensive thing. But it's a thing that he uses over and over again to always keep thinking of you.
Yep. I've sent shoe trees. A guy was commenting on his new shoes. So I went on Amazon and found a really nice bone shoe tree and sent him a bone shoe tree, not a metal one because he wouldn't be able to get it through travel, through TSA. But I sent him a bone one and told him why it was bone. And again, he just thanked me for that. So yeah, just use the look at the detail rather than the price tag.
That's awesome. And Steve, where can people find out about you, or the Bluefish and yourself?
Yeah,
or
you can subscribe to our newsletters on thebluefish.com. And you can go over to Ugly Sims. That's my personal website where I just rant about things that I like, dislike, where I post my views and opinions, and just tell you how I do things.
Cool. Awesome. Well, Steve, it was such an honor to have you on Making Bank. We finally got connected on there, got to talk a little bit about your story, what you have going on. And guys, if you haven't checked out what Steve is doing, or if you want to upgrade your travel to the next level, connect with Steve and the Bluefish, and just come back, jot down some notes. There were some awesome little nuggets of wisdom that he decided he wanted to drop in there for you. So find it, and don't forget to pre-order his book on Amazon so you can be one of the first ones to get it. So Steve, again, thanks for coming on Making Bank today.
Appreciate it.
I am Josh Felber. You were watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.